This is Kent Clothier. If you are looking to improve your life, improve your business, and just get it all together, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Time Is Now podcast. Okay, here we go. The wheels keep on churning away, my friend. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Been looking forward to this all week for 2 weeks now. And, you know, Ken, you and I just had a conversation. You've been on a freaking tear, a marathon tear, bringing amazing wisdom and content to everybody. This has been insane, dude.
Yeah, this is, I was saying it the other day, it's one of the most challenging things I've ever put together, especially for as little thought as I put into it. I mean, normally if I put together a big event, there's months and weeks that go into all that planning. This was like done in 48 hours. But with all that said, it's also been one of the most exciting and invigorating things I've ever been a part of. I was just making the comment to you that there's really probably only one person that's literally watched every single minute of this content, and it's me. It's because obviously I'm sitting here, right? And so it's actually been amazing for me as much as it's been for everybody else. I love the opportunity it's given me to get re-energized, to kind of pick up a lot of great nuggets from people, and to really get it's stuff that I'm vigorously taking notes a lot of times, and I'm immediately just forward them to my, whether I'm using Slack or Messenger over here, I'm like sending them to my people in real time. Like, you got to do this. So it's great.
Big time. It's been amazing. I told you, I was trying to, to coming on here after all these amazing guests that you've had. I mean, the best of the best, brother. And I'm like, man, what can you say that hasn't been said? So I'm like, I'm just going to listen to them all and fill in some of the pieces. But that went to hell because I listened to little bits and pieces of each one. But there's so much. I'm like, dude, I'm like already 9 behind and you got 3 more coming out today.
Exactly. Yeah, you fall behind, baby. It's going to be tough catching up. It's going to take you a month to catch up, I can tell you. All right, brother. Man, I'm glad you're here. Patrick Precourt, the man, the myth, the legend, right? Tell everybody, if you don't mind, kind of give everybody a little bit of a background on, because you got you got a lot of varied interest. You got a lot. Certainly, we can go down the real estate line here if we wanted to. What that opportunity looks like, we could take this interview in a direction of what people should be doing inside of their business right now to kind of get themselves ready. We could go right into the mental game, which you're an expert on, how to get this straight. But before we get to any of that, tell everybody a little bit about yourself here so we can kind of set the tone.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ken, where we're going to end up today, just so you guys know where we're going with this, because you're right, we can go a bunch of different. Where we're going to end up, though, today is in a space where you've provided amazing knowledge of these last, you said 8 days, 2 weeks of delivery here, right? With amazing, amazing thought leaders. We're going to bridge the gap, close the gap between information and actually applying it, what it takes to put it into play. You heard that word pivot a whole bunch of times throughout this last couple of weeks. Well, how do you pivot, right? Particularly if we feel stuck. That's where we're going to end up today. How do we take that next step? Okay, so let's go back a little ways. Okay, let's go back to say the late 90s. Was when I started my real estate investing career and accidentally did my first short sale. I didn't know what the word short sale meant. It just happened over we short up at a transaction, and it was the little old lady who was selling us the house didn't have enough money to bring to the table when we closed. And the attorney got on the phone, called somebody at customer service, and within about 25 minutes, we had done our first short sale. That's literally where short sales started, long before all this craziness that happens. And by 2004, we had gone so uniquely and specialized into short sales. Again, kind of before the market figured out what the word short sale meant, we brought it to an educational platform. We're teaching it. We were doing the seminar thing in 2004 and 2005. And from there, as we all know, the kind of the path of real estate, it exploded. And we're in the right place at the right time with the right expertise in real estate, how to get through the bank stuff and execute short sales. And our business just launched to the stars.
Kind of put you guys right out in the forefront real quick, right? You became the expert that everybody turned to.
And I'd be lying if I said that was strategic on my part, or this, brilliant wisdom on my part. It was a bit of desire and kind of just ruthless persistence and just shit luck all rolled in together. But I'll tell you something, man, and I know you know this to be true. If the ruthless persistence isn't there, I don't care how good your luck is, ain't going to be able to take advantage of it. And that's just how that plays out, right? So we get into We partner up with another educational platform to bring it nationally. And we spent a few years in that space and got a pretty big presence in the real estate education on a national platform. And that's where you and I met each other, I believe. You know, so now we're maybe into 2008 or 9. And then that's when everything changed in our space. And for those of us who are in the real estate, like you were, like I was, right? This that we're going through now, that was training for this.
Yeah, I was about to say that. This seems eerily familiar, and we are prepared now, baby.
Yeah, and if I knew then what I know now, right, I would have done it much differently and a lot more successfully. And I think, you know, listening to your speakers, a lot of them were in business during that time, Kent, and they all dripped some amazing wisdom into this conversation, right? So now advance a little. So I go from real estate education into personal development with the idea that I understood quite early on that you could give somebody everything, the knowledge, the wisdom, the experience, the insight, and that still doesn't mean they're going to do squat with it.
Yeah.
And I had a challenge with that gap. And I just said, well, I'm going to focus on that space, what it takes to cross that bridge. And that's what I said, by the time we're done today, we're going to share some of that, right? And you talk about a lot of this on a regular basis. And it's kind of funny because
it's actually the most, and I applaud you for going so deep like you have. Right? You've dedicated your life to it now. But it's actually the most frustrating part of what we do, right? Because if you think about it, we pour our heart, soul into educating people. We put it way out in front. I mean, we put our lives into this, right? And everything I know, I want to pour it into as many people as I can. And for no other reason, except I know how simple it can be to unlock so much in your life and make amazing things happen. And then you watch people that just don't bridge that gap like you're talking about. So mm-hmm. I'd love to get down into that today.
Yeah. And then that's kind of where we'll end up today. So fast forward a little, all through this, I've always been a rugby player, always been a competitive athlete. And I heard a bunch of people bringing up like Whalen, you know, bringing up his MMA career. Did Stuman get involved with MMA at all? He may have brought it up too, but a lot of reference to it, right?
Well, you know, we have Shamrock on here. I think it's tomorrow. We have Frank Shamrock coming on.
Right, awesome. He's an outstanding human being. You guys are going to love that guy. I got to spend some one-on-one personal time with that guy. He's an A-plus person, right? Fought my first cage fight when I was 42 years old, and that was a function of my rugby career after about 15 years came to a screeching halt. And this was while I was still playing internationally. Series of bad concussions. They said, Pat, you play rugby anymore, you may not walk anymore. You got to quit, right? And I said, all right, got it this time. Got resentful, got pissed off. I felt something was taken from me. Didn't know who to get pissed off at, right? Unfortunately, those around me bore the negative energy for quite a while. I took a lot of that in a negative way into business, being that I went full bore, pushed everything to the limit to it broke so that I could rebuild it. And that's not the smart way to go about business. And I know there's a little of that in you too. I know what you're talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
We push it so hard to break it so we can fix it, right? And that's not a smart way to advance. And finally, by the grace of God, dude, I stumbled upon this gym. This is 5 years after being out of rugby, and just this is all during that growth of the short sale stuff too. So we're turning and burning pretty quick. This gym opens up in my neighborhood called Lion's Den, and my 11-year-old son at the time said, hey, Dad, can you take me down to the gym to work out? I'm like, at that moment, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. What a shitty role model I was being for my son. I've been sitting around here, you know, packing on weight, being a bum physically, right, and pretending that I'm doing things right out there. This is the facade that we put on every morning and pretend that we're someone out here that we're really not back in here. And that hit me, dude, like a ton of bricks. We go into this gym, check it out. I'm like, you know, Patrick, his name is Patrick, right? I said, you know, Patrick, not only you join, I'm going to join too. And I'm going to get a membership for your mom and your sisters too. We're all joining, right? So I got this family membership and I show up one day and I don't even know what to do. I feel like a bum, right? I'm fat. I'm out of shape. I don't know what to do. And I see a cardio kickboxing class and I'm like, all right, I'll just kick a bag. Simple start there, right? And it was cool. It was really, really cool. And got into that for a couple of weeks, and probably about 2 weeks in, I look over here, Kent, and there's people rolling around on these mats. Now, mind you, and this is God's honest truth, at this point, I never even watched the UFC, okay? Just I was uninterested in it. Knew I had no idea what that was. And I roll over and I walk over to these guys after one time. I said, like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, well, we're training. I'm like, what are you training for? They're like, this jujitsu. And I'm like, well, what the hell is jujitsu? And they give me a little rundown. I'm like, wow, how do you get started? Very simple. Just show up. That's all they said. Just show up. I'm like, really? Don't have to like join something? Nope, just show up. I'm like, fine, I'm there. And jiu-jitsu, rugby, not quite the same, but super physical, right? Right in my wheelhouse. And I'm like, all right, I'm coming back alive here, you know? So I'm training, probably a couple months into it. Never, ever, ever did I even see this MMA fighting cage down. We're up in the mezzanine. Never did I see this cage down there. For 2 months, I've been to this gym. Never saw this thing. Walked by, probably even touched it, but never acknowledged it. And one day, it's a Sunday night, the guys are talking about the fights from Friday night. And I'm like, what do you mean fights? Because to me, fight was, you know, hey, we're going to meet behind McDonald's and knuckle it up, right? That's how we grew up. Those were fights, you know? And I'm like, what do you mean fights? And they're like, yeah, so-and-so fought in this weight class, this weight class. I'm like, what do you mean? This isn't McDonald's. What are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, this is the MMA guys. You know, we train jiu-jitsu to support our MMA and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how do you get involved? You know what they said? Just show up. Just show up. Take that first step in. Scary as hell, no doubt, right? And that was, I was 40 years old when I started my training, and I just turned 42 when I fought my first MMA cage fight. And that's kind of how I got into it, right? So now I advance a whole bunch of years, and we've had this gym now for a good part of 8 years. It's MMA, mixed martial arts, lifestyle fitness gym.
So you joined the gym, but then you bought the gym.
We joined the gym. Then that gym ran into problems. So you talk about Frank Shamrock. So Lion's Den was a brand owned by Ken Shamrock. And he was involved for a while, but somehow that whole franchise burnt to the ground and took this one with it. You know? And there's a lot of strings attached from what I understand, right? So overnight, we had no place to go. And my coach, my trainer, Danilo, at the time, he said, Pat, what do I do? He's this Brazilian guy. And I'm like, well, I got this. We'll just go rent a place and we'll bring the team over. We'll just start training. No big deal. And that worked out for a little while, but the place we rented kind of sucked. It was a karate studio. And I'm like, dude, why don't we just go open our own gym? I'll figure out all the business stuff. You figure out all the martial arts stuff. We'll just do it. And I'm thinking like a 3,000 square foot dojo or something like that. By the time we opened, it was a 15,000 square foot fitness center that did everything from yoga and Pilates and cardio kickboxing and all of our CrossFit all the way over to Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, and full-blown MMA cage fighting. We competed in all those different disciplines. And kind of we've carried that forward out to where we are today. So that's how the whole gym, dude, it was meant to be a freaking hobby, you know?
Right. Well, that doesn't show you when you fall in love with something. I mean, business is then a lover, right? When you fall in love with something, you become passionate about it, it becomes all consuming and you find your way. And that's the beauty of, that's why you hear so many entrepreneurs talk about something that, you know, find something you're passionate about and you'll never work a day in your life. This is something you're extremely passionate about in addition to your other businesses and other ventures, but this is something that clearly plays a real important part in your life, which, I mean, I applaud you, Roland.
Here's the cool thing about it too. And again, I'd like to say I planned it this way. Like this was my whole big strategy, but it wasn't, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, act on what's right in front of me right now sometimes, you know, and that was just one of those plays. I never thought about this, you know, because it was, on hindsight, that was a big, big, big decision because it altered the trajectory that I was on in life on many, many different levels, right? But here's the cool thing. In my personal development and our human development stuff, right, it is a genuine laboratory for human performance. I can test and practice, if you will, on live bodies to their benefit. So you look at the health and fitness industry for a second, right? We're going to get back to the martial arts for a second because you'll see how this plugs in. And, you know, I heard Sean say that, you know, every male should be in a fist fight. And I agree with him 1,000 times over, but it's too scary, right? To say, hey, come in and, you know, punch me. Hold that thought for a sec. Come into fitness. You know why fitness is such a multi-billion-dollar industry? It's not because of the knowledge. It's because nobody does anything with the knowledge, so they got to buy more knowledge. That's why it exists. If not, you can go right now and Google, spend 10 minutes, figure out exactly what to do for an at-home workout, exactly what to do for an at-home diet, and be perfectly good. Never have to spend a penny on health and fitness and nutrition ever, right? But there's a gap between what we know and what we do. And this became kind of the laboratory. So our average age is like 38, 39 years old, right? And here's classic Ken. Guy comes in, he's 40 years old, was an athlete in high school, you know, maybe Bundy type guy, you know, scored four touchdowns in high school way back when, right? But he let himself become a bum, 30 pounds overweight, right? And now it's starting to get to him. Now maybe he doesn't feel the same flame between him and his wife. He doesn't have that mojo, doesn't like the way he looks in the mirror. He's embarrassed to take his shirt off on the beach. But when he comes in, you ask him, hey, what do you want? You know what he says? I want to lose 30 pounds. And that's the problem. His target isn't even proper, right? That's the way to measure what he wants, but that is not what he wants. He wants his freaking soul back. He wants to feel like a man again. He wants to be able to look at his wife square in the eye and be proud at what she's looking at. He wants his balls back. Right. That's what he wants. When I make the connection between what he really wants, right, what he says he wants, and he can feel that, guess what, man? He'll move mountains to get that. But 30 pounds, that ain't nothing.
The analogy is so true for inside of business. It is so applicable, right? When that connection is made and it is no longer dollars, but it is about benefit, right? This is what you want to feel. This is the way you want to be perceived. This is the way you want to, the benefit you want to bring to your family and friends, your community, whatever it is. Then the world changes for you, right? It just starts getting out of your way because it's to your point. It's not like there's not a finish line. It's a journey now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And even when, you know, because in this space, you hear goals get thrown around all the time, right? And big advocate of goals, right? But we have to give them the right meaning. Goal is a way to measure progress to the actual result that we want. So go back to the fitness space, that 30-pound goal, that's a way to measure our progress to the result that we want, which is get our balls back. Let's describe it that way, right? Well, this is how we can measure it on a daily basis and actually create a process based on the measurements to achieve it. Now we can put something together, but it's not what we want. And as soon as we recognize that, right, then to your point, we don't have to stop there because that's just measuring forward progress. That's it. You know, so it's totally different spectrum.
All right. So Pat, let's help people. Let's do some tactical stuff here. Right. We've talked about, I know this is, again, it's something you're passionate about. It's something that we're extremely close. You know, something that's one of the most frustrating parts about what I do that and what you do, that I sit here and put all this time, effort, energy into building, you know, systems and products and knowledge bases and all these things. And ultimately, you and I both know statistically, I can actually see it in the data, right? I can see how many people actually go into our courses. I can see how many people actually engage with our software. I mean, we have tens of thousands of people that engage or that have bought our software, and literally 10% of our client base log in once a month. That's it, 10%. Mm-hmm. I can see the exact same thing with our online courses. That number with our particular courses is closer to 30 to 40%. But still, regardless, the vast majority of the people that buy this stuff, just like the vast majority of people that go and join a gym, don't do dick. And so let's help some people start to unlock some of those things here. Let's talk about that here.
So we have to take a step back here for a sec. Okay. And this is, will also allow to apply a little more to our current state of affairs.
Yeah. I love that.
We got to start. And I know this has been talked about, but I got to kind of bring it from my little angle here, right? We got to address this thing called fear. Okay. Because fear ultimately is the thing that stops us from taking action. Now, there's a billion reasons why we're afraid, but there are three commonalities in fears. And when you put this trifecta together, right, you're done. You're dead in the water. So I want to identify them and then show how we can kind of unravel them, right? So number one is when we are presented with an uncontrollable circumstance, okay, that at least from our side, it's out of our control. That starts it. Number two is when it's unpredictable. So not only is it out of control, we can't foresee what's going to happen next. And third is when we believe it to be chronic, ongoing. We don't know the end of it. So now apply that classification, right, to our current situation. This virus that's going around, shutting down our country, these lock-in-place things going on, right? Uncontrollable, unpredictable, and absolutely chronic. Because you hear reports from, oh, it's only going to last a couple more months, too. This thing could be here for 18 months. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Right? So there's a challenge with all of this information coming down to people right now, but then being locked in this kind of fear state. Because here's the thing. Fear leads to anxiety, leads to a level of stress. Those two kind of muddle together. That freezes us, just stops us dead in our tracks. Right now we're stuck. So let's go back to the uncontrollable. We have uncontrollable events already in our lives, right? We've just come to terms with them. This is a new one. So step number one right now is, how can we control this uncontrollable event? And there's a little, can I share with you a cool little exercise? And this will kind of resonate throughout this entire presentation.
Of course.
Somebody to take out a sheet of paper, right? And put a line down the middle and then kind of a T across the top. And above that, put things I can control and things I can't control. Dude, I've been doing this every day for 2 weeks. And I make a big, long list what I can't control. And this is everything. And on that should include things like, I can't control other people's decisions. I can't control the coronavirus. I can't control the weather. I can't control whether my two-year-old gets up in the morning. I can't control if I have to bring my mom to the hospital at 1:30 in the morning because she fell and broke her hip this past Friday, which I did. Those are outside of our control. Circumstances are going to continue to happen. That all goes over here. Over here, things I can control, okay? And this is everything you put on here will fit into one bucket, which will be defined as I can control the way I think, feel, and act. There's nothing else to it. You can replace act with respond, right? Think, feel, and act. But you should make a list of things I can control. And then one last filter on this side is there will be things you put on that list that you may not want to control. You can, but you don't want to, in which case, move them back over to the right. And the reason being, once we have these separated lists, we have to appreciate that if we waste any emotional currency, any focus, any attention, any effort at all on the right-hand side of the list, we're without a doubt creating a self-treason because we're trying to control something that we cannot control, which immediately puts us back in a state of fear, stress, anxiety, fight or flight, sympathetic nervous system. We're done. We're dead in the water. We're literally sinking our own ship. And the nice thing about the exercise is it allows us to look at it and say, all right, stop. Can we control, Kent, people on Facebook that are saying really, really stupid things? Can we control them? Hell no. Can we control people on Facebook putting out fake news? No. So stop. Stop wasting your time here. Bring it back home on things we can control. Now, here's an interesting thing about uncontrollable circumstances. Every circumstance is defined by the effect it has on those things around it. An example of that would be, say, a hurricane, right? A hurricane is a category one. You remember this from back in Florida, category two or three. Yep. And you're listening to that forecast based on how much that thing's going to affect you, right? Based on its category. Well, guess what? When we change how the uncontrollable circumstance affects us, we effectively have changed the uncontrollable circumstance because we can alter its ability to affect us. Does that make sense? Yeah. So now, for instance, you're a smart guy. You live on the coast in Florida. You built a house that could not be rocked by a Category 5 hurricane with the shutters and the windows and a concrete foundation and the straps. So Category 2 might as well just be a freaking rainstorm to you. Does not matter. But you still can't, you know, technically change the hurricane. We've got to bring this back, right, to the current situation. Life is going to continue every day. And I just mentioned, you know, this past Friday morning, I woke up at 1:30 in the morning for my mom in trouble. She's 79 years old. She fell, broke her hip. We had to call the ambulance in emergency, rush her to the hospital. And I've had her sequestered from every human being for the past 2 weeks, right, because she can't get infected. And I got to bring her to a hospital. You know, that's the last place in the world we wanted to go. Had to happen, right? Think about this, though, for a second. You know, my mom's 79 years old, scared to death, fell, broke her hip, and she's almost in tears. Now, she's tough. She's a tough Irish woman. And I went, Ma, is it hurt that bad? She goes, hurts that bad, but that's not it. I don't want to go to the hospital. I answer point blank. Mom, why don't you want to go to the hospital? What's so big? And it hit me right there. And you'll remember this, Kent. Last two people we sent to the hospital out of my family, my dad, my 28-year-old brother, never came back. One-way trip. Both got a bacterial infection while they were there, right? There's things that are outside of our control, but we still have to move forward. What we did do in that circumstance, got out of the hospital, got her in and out within 2.5 days, and then didn't put her into a home. I said, we'll deal with this stuff. You know, she went from completely self-contained, can deal with her own stuff, to she needs 24/7 help now because she's now handicapped, right?
Right.
So bring it back to the whole exercise here. We got to start with what we can control, what we can't control. When we focus on what we can control, we're now going to reduce the stress, anxiety, and fear because now, well, we're back in the game. Does that kind of make sense?
Well, yeah. What's happening is, you know, to put it in, you're giving, look, you get more of what you focus on, right? And when you and I both know that to be true. So the bottom line is when you put out there, and I'll just give you another example. When you put out there, you know, think of the saying like misery loves company. When all you do is piss and moan about what's going on in your life, isn't it amazing that you are at a subconscious level, you surround yourself with people that are pissing and moaning and doing the same thing, or you're looking for shitty news on Facebook, or you're, you know, whatever the case may be, right? That reverse is true as well, right? So if what you're focusing on, to your point, is the shit you can control, you're giving power to stuff that needs your energy and that deserves your energy versus stuff that can absolutely, like, regardless of how much you focus on it, it's not changing anything, right? You got to be able to roll with the punches. That's life. That's just the way life really is.
Now, and that's perfect. Now, it'll segue good here. So now let's talk about starting to cross this bridge between what you know you have to do and should do and what you actually do. And if you ask me, and I'm guessing you come up with the same answer, you ask me one of the single biggest differences in those who succeed and those who don't, it's the ability to cross this bridge. It's not a lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of information that is so readily available today. And if we continue to blame that, and here's what a lot of us do, Kent, we keep thinking that we need more knowledge, we need more wisdom, we need more insight instead of the application of it. Well, guess what? We stay here. We just get more, but we don't start to walk across the bridge. That's the big difference here, right? So how do we start this process, right? And then that's kind of where we'll kind of dive into here. Now, let me ask you a question, right? Do you agree that the way you feel affects the way you think?
Of course.
Of course. And do you also agree that the way you think affects your decision-making?
Of course.
Of course. These are obvious questions. Your decision-making, your action-taking, and your action-taking, your results, right? So yep. Now, the way we feel is directly tied to the results that we get. How many of us operate out of a reactionary state of the way we feel in the moment?
Yep.
The second I say, hey, Ken, I got this amazing opportunity for you, you step back in fear. You take that shock, initial shock, and then that goes to the thought, which is tied to no, risk, danger, fear. They play off each other. You spiral down, you're froze, you're dead in the water again. Even though I was giving you the freaking golden key to the city, your first response was fear. And that triggered a thought, because you just told me emotions trigger thoughts. That determined a path of decision, action, result. In this case, an inaction, right? And then dead in the water. So the magic, and this is like the human, the magic human power that we have that no other mammal has. And this is like the one thing that genuinely separates us from like your average house dog, right? Is our ability to get in between emotions and thoughts, stop, pause, think about what we're thinking about, choose another thought if the first thought does not serve our desired outcome. So the key here is, where do we want to end up? Do we want to stay on this side of the damn bridge forever? Or do we want to be over there with those cool guys? We got to make that clear. Because once we know this, once we're clear on the outcome, now when that first thought of fear creeps in, we say, stop. I now know how this stuff works. I know I have built-in triggers that will trigger a thought. But I can stop, get in between the thought and the emotion. I can intentionally think a different thought. And I'll show you how this plays out in a second. But you agree then that I can think my way into a feeling.
Yep.
Right? So now a different thought, different feeling triggers this new pattern of thought, decision, action, desired result. Right? And that's how this all works together. We regain control. So instead of just reacting, we're now strategically responding. We're evolving and tricking the system. We are all defaulted to automatic responses. We can't help that. There is a way to go back and remap, right? The triggered responses. As an example, a guy came to me a while ago, a long time ago, Pat, you know, everything's pretty cool, but I can't get over this road rage that I have, you know? Like he's a victim of his anger. And I'm like, well, let's call it what it is, right? It's a habit that you enjoy. That every time you get road rage, you get this freaking dump of adrenaline in your system and it pumps you up. And then you get to get angry at somebody and you become all manly and beastly and all that shit. But you choose that. Nobody did that to you, right? And we can remap that.
Here's the thing, is that when that choice is made, okay, so let's give everybody their couple things here real quick. You know, for the sake of time. One, you mentioned that a lot of these things are default responses. They became a default response because you kept choosing that, and then your brain decides, well, this is the way we react to this input, and so it starts defaulting to that very quickly at a subconscious level, so you don't have to think about it anymore. And you know, part of this, you know, you and I've talked about this. There's a lot of people, and I want to give this its credit here, right? So there's a lot of people when they watch this, they will automatically tune out, right? They'll go, this is that hocus pocus bullshit. You know, I don't really buy into this, whatever, right? Whatever it is, right? Subconscious, or let me just help you understand something. Your subconscious is extremely powerful, right? We have millions and millions of thoughts going on in our brain every single day that we are not actually thinking, right? You're not having to think about breathing. You're not having to think about your heart beating or your blinking or me actually moving my hands right now. These are things that are just happening, right? And your subconscious is so powerful, but it is a computer, right? It literally will take whatever it is taught, it just believes to be true. And it doesn't know the difference, right? It's not analytical. It does not know the difference between whether this will hurt me or whether it just, whatever you tell it, whatever it is, the input it has taken, it will just automatically begin defaulting to that. It is so powerful that, to Pat's point, you can literally kind of hack into it, right? It takes time, but I'm a perfect example of it. You can hack into it to believing different outcomes and reprogramming like what you're talking about. And it will start going in that direction and naturally lead you down a path. For any of you that don't think that your subconscious is powerful and that it leads to feelings and it leads to emotions and it actually leads to physical changes in your body, like where all of a sudden you start taking action. If you don't believe that that's actually true, you don't believe that's real, ask yourself right now. And in fact, you can go make a comment in there. If any of you have ever had a dream that it was so damn real that you woke up and you were like, holy shit, that was crazy, right? Holy shit, that was intense, right? Whatever that feeling is, here's what I want you to pick up on. When you wake up from that dream, think about it for a minute. The heart's racing, the blood's pumping, the adrenaline is dropped in your brain. Your brain, at a subconscious level, could not even tell the difference of whether this was real or not, to the point that it physically changed you. It chemically reacted to what it just believed was something so, because your logical brain was like, dude, this is a fucking dream. What are you talking about? Your subconscious is like, no, we got this, right? No, this is, we're in this. Holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. To where, I mean, I've woken up where I'm crying. I'm woken up where, you know, this has happened to all of us. So to understand what Pat's talking about, the power of your subconscious and be able to change what's going on and be able to change the decisions you make and ultimately change the outcome, this is nothing but some of the most powerful shit you'll ever understand. And this is a key differentiator between people that achieve wild success in their life versus the people that are passive and going through the motions. So I didn't want to steal your thunder a little bit there,
but
we drive home that point that this is about as real as it gets. When you start really understanding how to feed your mind what you really want and change, like you said, the ultimate decisions and the ultimate outcomes that you get, holy shit, the world changes.
Absolutely. And I'll wrap that around this one thought, just that fill in so everybody can really, really grasp this. You ever wake up in the morning in a shitty mood, like in a bad attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Story of my life, right? Because I'm either waking up in a good attitude or a bad attitude, right? You're like, well, where'd that come from? Well, they, without going into all what you just talked about, the deep, deep, deep subconscious, where that came from. You say, well, what is an attitude? An attitude is nothing more than an emotional state, right? And you say, well, what's an emotional state? Follow me on this, right? So when you have a thought, every thought that we think has an emotion tied to it. But when we think the thought, we bring the emotion from the subconscious to the conscious. And it's that recognized emotion that then creates our emotional state, our attitude in the moment, right?
Right.
And if we just know how these little pieces fit together, we can wake up out of bed in a shitty mood, a shitty attitude, and we can stop and flip that bitch around.
Yeah, so you're fucking taking control. That's the point, right? You got so much outside stimulus coming at you. You can turn that shit off, and rather than focus on the obstacle, you can start focusing on the opportunity. I mean, you and I, look, I want to make one comment here and kind of start, because we got about 20 minutes here. This is so powerful, right? And your brain is so powerful that I'll even give you this. Pat made the comment earlier that it is not a function of more information, right? It is a function of more comprehension, and comprehension comes from the act of doing, the act of engaging, the act of taking actions and getting in there. So much so, I want everybody to hear me loud and clear. This is how simple I will make this for you. Right? And you guys can all comment on this, is that I will take 100% of the time, literally, if you line 100 people in a room, give me ignorance on fire, right? I'll take the dumbest son of a bitch in the room that is, will go as hard as they'll go. They'll take massive action. They will get in the game. They will engage. They will do whatever I tell them. Give me ignorance on fire versus knowledge on ice. There are so many overeducated, broke people in the world, it is not a function of knowledge. It is a function of action. And the way you get to action is exactly what Pat is talking about. You get to action by determining and then understanding the result, changing your belief system, changing what you believe your potential is, and starting to engage.
You know, again, I wanted to talk about the fear thing for a second, because I don't want us to get stuck there when there's so much opportunity sitting in front of us. And I brought up our gym, Kemp. Our doors have been locked in our gym for the entire month of March, you know, shut door. And this is a gym that does over 300 classes a month. We're a hands-on, busy gym, right? And our doors are shut. And we had to make some big boy decisions. Are we going to just kind of cut revenue and cut clients and just be done with it and hope this thing gets better, right? Or are we going to kind of respond to it in a strategic way? So you'll appreciate this. I love this analogy. I didn't make this up. I heard this from somebody, right? There's some dudes swimming around the ocean. Big freaking wave comes in, right? There's only three choices, right? First dude panics, freezes. He gets his ass crushed by the wave. Doesn't get out of the way. Second dude fights not to die, tries to swim under the wave. Third dude is like, awesome, and rides a bitch to the shore, you know?
No doubt, baby.
Same wave. Three different ways to respond to it. No one doubt. Dude died, one dude survived, and one dude had the freaking wave of his lifetime, right? This is no different. And we chose, like, in the gym, and this took a little deep thought and a commitment. Like, are we going to just, you know, close our doors and hope for the best, and that would be the guy getting your ass beaten to the shore by the big tidal wave, right? Are we going to just try to kind of survive through this, or are we going to try to do something here and be the king when we walk out the other side? And, of course, the easy way would be just fight not to lose, right? Let's just do what we have to do to get through it so we can open our doors. But the best we can do when you fight not to lose is fight another day. But that's the best you'll ever do. When you fight to win, you start creating terms that other people respond to. Now you have an opportunity to truly thrive. We went out and made a list of every gym within a 12-mile radius in our area and broke up all the gyms to our team. But now we're researching them ruthlessly and seeing who's doing what. And we're slowly going to pick them off one at a time and absorb them into ours. And all I want is the people. Because one thing I know, right? People will always train. They'll always work out. They'll always look for this physical release. We may not ever go back into our gym. I can't guarantee that. Can't focus on that. That's an uncontrollable. You know, and you recall the good, the book, Good to Great, Jim Collins, right?
Yep.
Jim Stockdale Paradox, right? He was put into Vietnam prisoner of war camp, and he was one of 30-something prisoners at the time, one of the very few survivors. But he took a stance, man. He was the highest-ranking prisoner of war at the time. He ended up being in there 7.5 years, dude. And you talk about uncontrollable and unpredictable and chronic. He had no idea, like, he had no fact to support he'd ever get out, he'd ever see his family, he'd ever survive. They're in a war. He had no idea who's winning the war. But instead of saying, oh, I'll be out by Halloween, or I'll be out by Thanksgiving, or I'll be out by Christmas, he said, I can't control any of that. I'm not going to put time on it. And the guys who did, the guys that brought this false positive optimism to it, and it was false because it was unfounded. There's nothing they could do. They tried to control an uncontrollable, and it ultimately broke their spirit. It broke their will to fight. It broke their will to live. They didn't survive. They perished.
Right.
He survived even the last 6 months of his incarceration within a 6x3 concrete cell, no windows. And he was put in there because they caught him rallying the prisoners here, building them up. And the point being, right, we got a whole lot to go through here. But like we did in the gym, we're not putting a time on when we're going to get back in the gym. We're not putting a date. We're not going to even describe how we're going to do it. We're saying these are our current circumstances. These are our opportunities. And these are our threats. And we're pretty much going to just make sure the threats can't get to us. We're going to focus all our energies on the opportunity. I have no doubt when we get through this, 30 to 50% of all the gyms are going to be wiped out. That's my belief. My belief is also that we should have every single one of those freaking clients in our gym. And you know what? We put all our resources in going online. So when we're done, we may not even have to open our doors because we're going to have such a robust online community. We may make more money with less effort and less headache doing that, right?
Right.
That may be a possibility, but I don't know. But we're going to strive towards that direction. That all kind of makes sense there?
I love that. I love that, brother. I love that. And it creates, again, you're giving yourself the opportunity to win in uncertain times. It's that simple. I mean, when you do anything short of that, you're kind of setting yourself up potentially for you know, outcomes that are completely outside of your control. You get to decide what you focus on every day, period. Right? You get to decide how much you're going to engage, how much you're going to go for it right now, if you will, right? There is so much out there in the way of opportunity that,
right.
I mean, it's just shocking.
Let's bring that back into real estate for a second, because I know there's a lot of real estate listeners here, right? And there's a lot of people that are new into real estate, and they're like, I can't believe that I'm brand new and this is happening to me when I'm trying to start. I want to talk to you guys for a second, because I'll tell you right now, you're in a spot where we were in 2004, 2005, 2006, right? And the opportunity that presented itself as a result of the economy crashing is what propelled us to where we are now. You honestly couldn't be in a better spot. The people I see that get hurt the most, and you'll attest to this, are the ones who never suffered through anything. They jumped in this business late in the game when a monkey could make money in this business, and think that because of their super talented skill or their mail or somehow they're special, right? And they're making money doing deals. You couldn't begin at a better time than now. And you couldn't be at a better place. And I know, Ken, you're offering our entire virtual wholesale academy to our clients right now, aren't you? For free. Yes. Is that true?
Well, no, the certified wholesaling specialist is for free. The virtual wholesaling mastery, the pivot, the key pivot that everybody should be making, we opened up a program to allow people to basically take a 6-week coaching program, compress it down into 3 weeks at a massive discount to get as much people, as much help as we possibly could. Yeah.
So if I'm sitting on the other side of this thing, I'm saying, all right, I hear there's opportunity, and what's the next step? Let's talk about this for a second. Okay. Seriously, because this allows us to create a good example. And I'm going to tell you, Kent, that a lot of people will hear the words and will be immediately confronted with that predisposed response, a reaction. There's a little book called Flinch, right? And you guys should all download this book, right? And it speaks to opportunity and how most of us will never, ever recognize opportunity, because the second it presents itself, we're predisposed to flinching. And they use the example of boxing. You know, in boxing, to a non-boxer, as soon as I throw a jab out here, you flinch, you step back, right? Where a good boxer will lean in. Because leaning in here with your arm out here, Kent, you're exposed and I'm cock loaded like a wound up snake coming bam up and around. But if I flinch, that opportunity is gone, right?
I love that analogy.
Fantastic book. And I think it's free or cheap on Amazon, right? You guys should all read it. A lot of flinching going on when there's so much fear on the outside due to the circumstance. And I really hope people embrace that little exercise of focusing only on our controllables, because it allows us to mitigate the fear and see things clearly. Now, when we talk about emotion, fear is one of them. We all know that fears lie to us. Fears are brilliant liars. They'll make things either better than they are or worse than they are, depending on whether they're an optimistic or a negative fear, but never allow us to see things clearly for what they are. Your ability to mitigate that emotion and see things clearly gives you the decisive decision-making, right, that we're talking about. So we don't have to flinch. So you guys are sitting here right now and you're like, well, what do we do next? Step one, get clear on a desired outcome. Okay. I call this the lighthouse exercise, and I want to plug you back in here in a second, right? Get clear on the outcome. We call this the lighthouse. Put a lighthouse up in front of you so that no matter how lost you get in this little journey, all you have to do is eyes up and you see the outcome. That's a lighthouse is defined by clarity. Two, decide a mechanism that you choose to get to that lighthouse, right? And if it's you want to get started in wholesaling, right, you're providing a mechanism right in front of us. Get clear on that. And that's kind of, if your lighthouse is your vision, the way you're going to get there is your mission. That's your delivery system. And then finally, the purpose. And we touched on this at the very beginning. Purpose is meaning. Dig deep as into why you want to do this in the first place. And this is how I use this as a tool, Ken, right? When I know deeply why I want something, I don't want, you know, financial freedom. That doesn't mean anything to me. I want what financial freedom can do for me, right? And what I can do for others as a result of add meaning to it. Once we add meaning to it, when the going gets tough, and it always does, when we lose sight of the lighthouse, which we always do, when people try to chop us down, which they always do, all we have to do is ask ourselves, am I willing to give up on this meaning? Back to that guy in my gym, 30 pounds overweight, want to lose 30 pounds. Is he willing to give up on ever seeing his wife look at him that way again? Just eyes lit up, just lusting over him. Is he willing to give that up, right? When you can connect at that deep level, that's your step across the bridge, right? That starts that process.
I love that. You don't attach it to, you know, attach everything to you. Why? I mean, you've been asked this a million times in your life. I know I have as well. Whether it comes from, you know, the question, it always comes around in some way of, you know, How do you stay driven? How do you stay motivated? How do you go like, you know, like this? Like, how do I keep going and putting on all these things? The why, baby, the mission.
Yeah, and you bring up the word motivate. I want to, so there's guru motivation, right? And then there's an internal motivation, which is really more of an inspiration. You know this as well as I do. I am not always motivated to do shit. Right. And there's shit I don't want to do that I still have to do, but I am not motivated. So if we sit around and wait for, you know, external motivation, we're done in the water. We're dead because it's not always going to show up when we need it. You know, if you're on a 5-yard line, you got the coach screaming on the sidelines to motivate you. Great. Fantastic. Trying to score in a football game. Right. But that's not life. Most of our lives as entrepreneurs, we're sitting alone. We're by ourselves. So we have to appreciate we can't rely on externals to motivate us. We have to find something internal to latch onto. That's why it's so critical to know that this is my goal, but what's the result of the goal? What are we really, really trying to get to out of this and latching onto this? You know, Ken, if I said, hey, you and I are walking down the street, right? And there's a house on fire here. And I said, Ken, there's a $100 bill in there on the kitchen counter. Run in here and get that $100, brother. You'd be like, you know, no, it'd be stupid, right? And I'm like, kind of $1,000. She's like, no, it's moronic. I said, all right, what if your youngest child was in that kitchen And the only way she was going to survive in the moment before the firemen got there was for you to go in there and get her and rescue her. And she's screaming your name. Would there be anything that could stop you from getting in there during that fire? Nothing.
Nothing.
You'd be unstoppable. Same circumstance, different meaning. The only thing we did was turn up the heat on the why behind it. And most times when we set goals, we don't even turn that burner on. We just set these superficial goals that, I don't know, sound, he made that goal, I figured I'd do one too, kind of stuff.
I want to make $1 million. What the fuck does that even mean? What are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about, right? I mean, you're 100% right. It has literally, and to your point, it's a great illustration, right? Think about just your example there. When it was money, it didn't matter enough. But the moment it became something deeper, now all of a sudden the light bulb goes off. And here's something I'll share with you guys before we wrap this up, Pat. A lot of times people believe that, let me do it this way. We'll just walk everybody through an example. If you took out a sheet of paper right now, or I did it on my whiteboard right here, and I told you to divide a sheet of paper into quadrants, and you've seen me do this before, Pat, and I told you that I want you to build a sheet and give me all of your assets, and we're going to put them into four boxes. And I said, some of your assets. Well, my assets are my family, right? And my kids, my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, whatever. Okay, that's a quadrant, family, right? And then I said, all right, what are the other assets? Well, my money, my self-directed IRA, my 401k, my stocks. Okay, well, now we're going to put that up in money, right? Mm-hmm. And then next thing, what about your network, your friends, your business associates, all your partners, all that. Okay, we're going to put that down there in basically your core, right? Your network, the people that, and then over here, what about your wisdom, your experience, all the hits you've taken, all the scars that you've got, right? So now we got down here and we just put that in wisdom. And I told you after this exercise, I had a mentor do this to me. You got to give up one. Which one are you going to give up? And without question, literally every time I'm talking about it, the one that everybody gives up is the money. Because there's no way I'm giving up my family. There's no way I'm giving up my friends, my network and everything, my peers and my partners in it. And there's sure as hell no way I'm giving up all my experience and my wisdom. Because if I have my family and I have my friends and my network and I have my experience and wisdom, then you know what I can get back is the money. And it's shocking to me when you sit there, and you and I've done this before to people many, many times, that the one thing people will immediately attach a goal to, or the one thing people believe this is all about, and they work their asses off trying to run after and attach goals to, is money. And it's the one fucking thing you would give up first, right? So this isn't about money. This is about opportunity. This is about doing the things that you got to do. This is about putting yourself out there and taking the chances and grabbing on with both hands, because you and I both know this to be true after we both talked about it, after our the last recession, the last hiccup we all took, is that this bitch is going to go like this, and it's going to go just like this. And as fast as that happens, you can be either, you know, as your illustration was perfect, you can either get smashed by the wave, you can try to survive, or you can absolutely ride that bitch all the way in. And you guys get a choice in that right now, right? Information is not insight. Knowledge is not comprehension. Survival is not thriving, right? It's all the same. You got to go in and you got to go hard and you got to decide what you want to be and you got to start taking those actions and putting yourself in those positions as quickly as you possibly can, because your future self is going to thank you for that. And whatever you do, do not attach these goals to money. Just attach it to, man, I want to come out of this better than I went in, and in a noticeable, profound way. Pat, any parting words you'd have for him?
One thing, and I want people to take this in a positive way, not in a threatening negative way, right? The decisions, Kent, that we all make in these next 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks or so, these are going to alter the trajectory that we are all on literally for the rest of our lives. This time is that impactful, right? And I don't want people to take that in a threatening way, more as a, this is an opportunity to make some amazing decisions, right? That are going to change the way we're moving forward in this world.
Yeah, and by the way, all those decisions that you make right now, they're not going to be right. We're in a fluid situation. Give yourself permission to make decisions, take actions, and pivot and move and ebb and flow. I don't have all this shit figured out. Pat doesn't have all this shit figured out. Anybody that would come in front of you and say that they did is full of shit. right? What we do know is what our wisdom and our experience has taught us over the years. What we do know is that what we can control and what we can focus on. And we do know what to avoid and not focus on because it doesn't pay, doesn't do us any good. And so hopefully that's the big takeaway.
And I say the one thing we can't do is nothing. Don't default to not making this decision. Look at it this way, man. It's just a really easy way to understand. Look at it the way your GPS responds to you. You ever been in a parking lot and you don't know which way, left or right, to leave? Right? You have your GPS coordinates in, but it's not telling you anything because you're not moving. It can't even see you. But the second you go, whether you go left or right, it will give you insightful feedback. Hey, dumbass, you should have went right. Take the next right or keep going. Even if you make the wrong decision, this is how life is, it will give you corrective instruction, insight on what to do next to get back on track. But when we do nothing, it can't give us any feedback.
That is a perfect analogy to leave us with here. That was amazing, dude. I appreciate you doing this. Thanks for putting in all the hard work and showing up for everybody today, dude. It means a lot to me.
Pleasure being here as always, brother. Love you, man.
See you, bro. Be cool.
Hey, thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten signed up yet with one of our award-winning products, I would invite you to go to reww.com. Check it out. Whether you're looking for advice on entrepreneurship, you're just looking for access to our Real Estate Investing Academy, whether you want to attend one of our upcoming live events, everything you need is right there. Plenty of videos, plenty of free training, plenty of access to software and tools that will help you to become a really successful real estate investor. Again, everything is right on the site at reww.com. You can also check us out at kempclothier.com.